Well, hello everyone. Thank you for joining and listening to this episode of the podcast. This is a little different for me because I'm usually live streaming. My name is Bravin, or DM Chronicles. I will be the DM for this session of Parallel to Anywhere. And then if you two would like to introduce yourselves.
I'm B. I will be playing Trevor, as I always am. And just usual nonsense coming from me.
Cool. Well, first off, thanks for having me on. Hello, everybody. I am Jack. I will be playing Doc Rizzo and a whole assortment of little tech drones that fly about and do all sorts of wonderful things. I'm super excited for this episode. I'm also a streamer as well. If anyone's interested, you can find me over at my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/thepeoplesascension, where I do all kinds of, you know, nerdy things throughout the week, as well as a Dungeons & Dragons game every Saturday. So feel free to check me out there or on Twitter, PPLS Ascension on Twitter. Anyway, let's get in with this.
Absolutely. So let's jump right in. So Trevor, as you are leaving your previous adventure and bamfing into a new universe, a new point in time and space, you find yourself completely in the dark. You can feel sort of like a hard metal floor beneath your feet, and the ground is slowly pitching back and forth gently. There are a number of small, maybe like fist-sized objects that are sort of swarming around your feet. Or not swarming, but just sort of piled up, like, up to your ankles that you're standing in.
It's not one thing, it's another. Alright. He would immediately just start looking around, seeing if there's anything he can do slash notice that could help him out, you know?
Does he have any kind of light? It's like pitch black.
He does have dark vision. I don't know if that's an immediate help.
He's a half. Gotcha. Okay. So looking around, it seems that you're in a metal box of sorts. There are walls and a ceiling to sort of create like a long rectangular room sitting at a bit of an angle. The floor of this room that you are in is covered in rubber duckies.
What? You know, considering where I was last, this is almost less weird. But, you know? He, like, grabs one and squeaks it.
And he, like, squeaks like any other rubber ducky would.
How big are they? Are they like the little ones, or are they like your average?
They're like the average size, like about the size of like your fist.
He stuffs one in one of his pockets and just goes like, "I'm saving you for later."
Alright. You hear, from one of the ends of the room, you hear a loud grinding sound, and after a few moments, there's sort of like a crack of like something breaking. And then one of two large doors at the end of the room that takes up, like, the entire wall opens up, letting in bright sunlight.
Sudden changes. Okay, well, I got what I came here for. And he, like, squeezes the ducky once more and puts it back in his pocket and just goes, "Time to see what's out there," and just meanders on out.
Okay, as you walk out, you see, right on the other side, directly outside, there is a person that had just sort of, like, opened the door there for you. Jack, if you'd like to introduce your character.
Yes, Doc Rizzo. Let's see. Let me pull up Doc Rizzo's description, because I thought you were going to introduce him. Yes, Doc Rizzo is a sort of middle-aged man, late 30s, real scruffy, real kind of dirty mechanic vibe. He has this grease-covered tank top, these tattered cargo pants held up with a utility belt that is stuffed full of different components and tools. Most notably, you notice that he is cybernetically augmented. The first thing you notice, probably, that his right hand has been replaced with this large metal hand, gauntlet, almost, that looks like it has a number of different servos that can move and detach different implements coming out of different fingers and whatnot. He is also moving with the assistance of a waist-rigged exoskeleton. Well, it doesn't look like his legs are all that useful. He gets around using this exoskeleton that's attached to his legs. And he does have a mechanical eye. I'd say the first thing you notice is a small sort of helicopter drone flies in to meet you as you were walking out of this cargo container, and it buzzes right up to your face, flashlight at you, and just sort of hovers in the air, moving back and forth, and kind of rotates around your head for a little bit.
Okay, you're interesting. And he would follow it like he would follow like a bug.
There's someone in there.
Oh, hello.
Hello?
He would follow the drone.
Come on out there. How do you even get in there?
That's a good question. He would follow right on out and just kind of strut out the box.
Okay, so as you step out, the first thing that hits you is sort of a salty breeze that washes over you, and the bright sun high up in the sky is shining down, revealing before you a landscape of decrepit fishing boats, shipping containers piled up haphazardly, and just piles of garbage and other random materials that are strewn about. You can see a pile of ruined wooden desks here, there's a rusted excavator over there, and a stack of empty vending machines set up like Tetris blocks in the distance. And you notice too that the entire landscape is slowly bobbing and shifting. You come to realize it's actually all floating on the sea. And even more noticeable than that, looming over everything else is a giant container ship. Its sides are splattered with random colors of paint as if there had been giants that had used it as battleground for a paintball match. In the sparse spots where the paint missed, the hull is covered in rust or barnacles, concealing any name the ship might have once had. There are countless shipping containers that seem to have been arranged to create a ramp or sort of pathway up onto the deck of the gigantic vessel. And you can, in front of the bridge of the ship, there are four towering cranes protruding from the deck. And from each of the cranes is swinging a huge electromagnetic. Electromagnet. Some of them with random hunks of metal and garbage stuck to them. From the one all the way in the front, from that magnet hangs an entire yacht. A smaller one, but still a yacht, suspended above that pathway leading up onto the deck. And the yacht's name is clearly visible on the side of the boat. Intrepid.
Well, he gives the place a once over and then kind of looks back to Doc and then looks back at this landscape and goes, is it as high tech as the time and space, but still definitely, I would say almost around my world's tech. Interesting. Huh. Anyway, hi, how are you?
What are you on about, kid? Oh, how'd you get here?
Well,
one of my ducks?
He, like, instantly puts his hand to the pocket with the giant protruding duck silhouette, and then, like, places it back in the box. In fairness, I didn't know they were yours.
They're a highly valuable commodity, those ducks.
Really?
They don't wash up very often. It's taken me a lifetime to collect all those ducks.
This is an interesting universe already. Okay,
you're a strange one, kid.
You know, I get that a lot. Hi, my name's Trev.
Doc Rizzo's the name. He grabs grabs one hand and slams his big heavy iron mitt into it and shakes you vigorously. Welcome to my scrapyard. What are you in the business for? You need a new hand? I'm really good at new hands.
Clearly. No, I'm good with my hands. He kind of, like, wiggles them both to show that they both function properly. And then just kind of, I just kind of stumbled in here, to be honest with you. Don't worry about it too much. Once my watch gets to 100%, I'll be out of here. So, guess I'll just be hanging around until then. Just right. A pit stop.
Sure. Be careful of all the rust.
No, I'm sure it's fine. Oh, wow, it is a lot.
So, as the two of you are talking, Trevor, you feel a tug at... it almost seems like your watch itself is tugging at your arm, sort of pulling itself up into the air.
What?
And you sort of, this perfectly circular shadow, sort of, starts to wash over the two of you, and, the band of the watch begins to slip, and then suddenly the watch flies straight up, and you look up, and you see it smack into the bottom of one of those large electromagnets, now hanging directly overhead.
Uh-oh. I very quickly grab onto my rotocopter and hold it under my arm. Ah, these damn magnets, they're all trying to steal my stuff!
You feel it getting pulled upward. You grab that one, but your tiny little Beetle drone gets sucked up into the magnet as well.
No, not Tack!
And then the magnet begins to swing itself away. And you see it turn all the way around until it's hanging all the way back by the bridge of the giant container ship.
We have to get my watch back.
I gotta get Tack back.
Well, then it sounds like we have a mutual plan here. If I don't have that when that thing goes to 100%, that thing's gonna vanish and I'll be trapped here.
Whatever you say, kid.
Long story short, I need it. As fast as possible. I don't know how much magic your world has, but more magic around it means it's gonna charge faster.
You say a lot of complicated words.
I will... Since we're going to be walking and talking, I can definitely give you the summation. But first, how do we get to that giant magnet?
Well, we got a bunch of trash and boats to climb over, and it's not always the most simple, safest route. I tend to stick to my junkyard when I can. There's all kinds of mess of trouble out there, so I guess, stay close, kid.
That I can do. Alright. Guess this time I'll be... Hopefully we'll somehow be able to get all this in the show. Anyway! Let's get going.
So the two of you begin to head out towards the container ship. I make sure to
swing by and pick up Bulldog on the way.
Okay.
My walker drone. He should be a little heavy for the magnet to super quickly scoop up, so I'm gonna bring him along.
Gotcha. Yeah, so walking, or traveling toward the ship, it is definitely a haphazard journey, as there isn't really any semblance of a path or a road leading up at least to that sort of large ramp in order to get on to the deck of the container ship. And it doesn't help that this isn't solid ground either. Everything is slowly sort of shifting and bobbing on the sea as you're traveling across, and sometimes you have to go around a sort of gap where the ocean is exposed in this sort of vast landscape of garbage and random trash that washed up from the ocean. But after about 30 minutes of some extensive exercise, you do make it to the base of the ramp to the container ship. And from then on, the path is pretty smooth.
I will say that during that entire time, anytime Treff had breath, he was trying to explain to Doc the whole, like, his whole backstory and everything. Like, oh, you know, it was a school project, the watch can move anywhere through the multiverse, blah, 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 blah.
You gotta lay off the smokes, kid. You're too young for this.
You know, I'm slowly realizing that that's probably going to be everyone's response until the podcast goes up.
Is that a type of boat? Like a pod boat? Like a submersible?
You guys really only think in boats, don't you?
We got a lot of boats. It's about the only thing that's left.
Oh. Shouldn't have joked about that then. Apologies.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, here's hoping that the watch will still be there when we get to the magnet.
Well, unless the scavers got it.
The what?
Well, it's a fairly frequent thing, these magnets. They're always revolving around all over the place. You time it right, you can get there and grab some really nice stuff that gets sucked up.
You notice he moves a lot faster.
Hold up, kid. These old legs don't move like, legs.
Okay, you're right. Sorry, but you shouldn't have told me about that.
As the two of you are climbing the ramp up to the deck of the ship, you end up passing by other people that are traveling down. And although it may have been hard to tell from a distance, it seems that this is actually a pretty well-traveled road, and there are all kinds of people. You notice that not two faces are the same in this place. You see humans and elves, dwarves and orcs, goblins and goliaths. And when you get up to the top of the ramp, to your surprise, it seems that there's almost sort of a ramshackle put-together city set up onto the deck of this container ship that stretches all the way across from one end to the other.
You watch, like, the light leave Trev's eyes as he realizes how many people could have gotten the watch by this point. This is bad.
You can see the magnet that took your watch is sitting still, having swung back up and over the bridge all the way at the back of the ship on the other side of the city.
Just the defeated, like, hands on knees, bent over, very tired kind of position. Then he catches his breath for a second, just says, "It's on the other end of this town, Doc. We'll get your... you're drowning in my watch back in no time."
Alright, well, let's go, kid. Stay close, you're a little weird, you know? We don't need anyone picking you up for anything.
What do you mean? You know what? Better that I don't ask. Let's go.
Sort of walking through semblance of a street that stretches across this deck and splits into this city. You start to see more and more, as you travel deeper into the city, more and more stands and shops and different sort of just like piles of junk or random materials that have been scavenged from the landscape and the environment around to be piled up and either traded or bartered or sold to the populace in order to get by in their day-to-day lives. And all of the buildings and structures you can tell are put together using rotted wood or scrap metal or random materials. There's, I mean, one stand that seems to be a bunch of nailed together dry rotted office chairs. and it seems like people in this place, in Intrepid, just sort of get by with what they can find and what they can scavenge from their environment.
You never told me. What happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
Like, to make all this happen. Rotted office chairs and living on boat remains. Like, has it always been like this?
Long as I can remember.
Guess every world is different. Are the people getting by?
Yeah, I suppose. Everyone gets by in their own little way. I mean, there's all kinds of junk out there that washes up on occasion. Kind of a little competition to see what you can grab before somebody else does. Make something out of it. Trade it. You know, there's a place down there that makes the best ramen. The Ramen Bureau, made entirely out of bureaus. It's fantastic. I put together a stove. I get free ramen whenever I want. We should swing by.
Once I get the watch, that is tempting.
Right, yes. Attack and your watch thing.
Yep. Is the... Oh, no. He starts realizing, like... Yeah. Oh, there's so many ways this could go wrong. We need to move.
Alright. Bulldog, clear path.
Wait!
Four-legged drone, sort of, that's been kind of clomping beside us, just... like, kneels down and just takes off like a bulldog and starts, like, hopping about and bumping into people and pushing them out of the way.
Mm-hmm. You and just sort of running through the street. Oh, sorry?
But you know the concern image of, like, person with, like, their fist, like, their hands together, like, touching their nose a bit? Just, like... Mm-hmm. Treff is doing that as he watches this robot dog just terrorize.
As it runs and tears through the street and through the crowds and people are sort of jumping out the way, and you hear one guy go, "Not again, Doc!
Out of the way, you layabout!"
You notice up ahead, not too far ahead, a young, dwarvish-looking girl, couldn't be maybe 5 or 6 years old, playing in the streets, with, looks like a golden retriever. And, she has a little pink flower in her hair, and as your sort of robot dog runs through the streets, the golden retriever immediately takes notice and starts chasing after it. And then the little girl running after as well.
Oh, this is a mess. Okay.
And you hear her yell, "Wait, come back, Kevin!"
Treff, like, immediately realizes, like, something has to be done here. And he's just like, okay, he's going to, like, he's going to use the blink spell to, like, get himself trying to get between the robot dog and the regular dog.
Okay.
And just, blink would do the same thing. He would just phase from next to Doc, right in between the golden retriever and the robot dog, and, like, in front of the golden retriever, start petting his face, just like, "Good dog, good boy," just, like, distracting him long enough for the dwarven girl to catch up.
Okay. So you immediately disappear from your spot and appear between the golden retriever and the robotic dog that it had been chasing, and it immediately stops and, like, crouches down in sort of that playful way that that dogs do, and starts, like, jumping excitedly around you, and the little girl finally catches up.
Ugh, you got a fast one.
Trevor, don't run off on me like that.
That's the name of your dog?
Yes. Huh. Is that weird?
Oh, no, it's kind of my name, too.
That's funny.
Yeah, coincidence. He starts petting the dog, just like, "That's how we got along so quick, isn't it?"
I'm Brinva.
Nice to meet you. My friend should be coming any second now. His legs aren't as good as my magic.
Sort of looks over as Doc Rizzo catches up.
Don't you go bad-mouthing my legs, kid.
I said
I worked hard on these legs.
I said compared to magic, not compared to me.
Anyway, Trevor, you watch yourself, pointing at the dog.
Oh.
I need to replace one more of my bulldog's legs, and I'm gonna use one of yours. Again.
The dog starts jumping around you and like trying to climb up like the side and like trying to lick you.
I'm pushing at it and trying to get away without tipping over.
Chef just kind of like pets the dog a bit more and just kind of turns to the dwarf. And just like, you take good care of him, okay?
I will. Come on, Connor. And then the dog follows.
She gives a new name to that dog every 5 seconds.
Huh. I thought I'd made a connection. And he immediately just kind of like stands there for a second, not sure how to feel, that he like something clicks and just goes like, wait, right, the watch.
You hear from the other side of the street, someone yells at you, hey! Hey, you!
Oh, no.
You over there!
He immediately starts looking in other directions, like, who could you be talking about?
You catch the sight of this bald human woman set up with, like, a small wooden crate, and it looks like there's a bunch of dice set onto the table. Or onto the crate, and she's just sort of sitting behind it cross-legged. Hey! Wanna play?
Play what?
Yeah, come on, come over. Like it's easy.
You see him, like, head in hands, realizing he kinda can't say no. Just like, I'm gonna be stuck here forever. Okay, ha!
Come on, don't be shy.
He would look to Doc and like the help me, but he would walk over towards the lady. Hi, how can I... You wanted me to play?
Yeah, have a seat right here.
Okay, how long's the game?
Oh, it's quick and easy. I'll teach you.
Okay. It keeps like...
Gambling type by chance? You seem like it. Well, that's easy. You can double your money. Easy.
You aren't trying to roll my new friend here now, are you? I'm wise to your type.
Oh, no need to be suspicious. I've got clean hands. She sort of, like, puts both her hands up to show.
Yeah, that's extra suspicious. Everything around here is covered in rust and dust and dirt and grease.
And you can see that her hands are, too. They're not clean at all.
The more he talks about everything here is covered in dirt and grease, you see, like, more and more of Trevor's soul leave his body. As he's just like, I'm gonna be here forever.
Come on, one round. There's no harm in it, right?
Okay, one.
What's your name, kid?
Just call me Trev.
Trev?
Mm-hmm.
The name's Fantina.
Nice to meet you.
No, this is very easy. And she pulls some more dice from behind the table and sets them up. And you can see, looking closer, these aren't just, like, regular dice. At least most of them aren't. It seems that there are different kinds of dice with different numbers of sides.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a traditional set of what you would see as, like, D&D dice.
I feel like, because Trev's world is, like, where he comes from is, like, Faerun, but in, like, Faerun when it gets to the point in time that Onward would be a thing. So, like, I feel like sets of dice for that, maybe not specifically for D&D, but for similar-esque kinds of games probably do exist. So this is not foreign to him as a concept. But he is fascinated that they're here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's seen them for, like, probably what would be, like, sci-fi games, because that would be weird to those people, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just
okay, like, so do you want to play for money or for trinkets?
He starts realizing he does not have money that this world would understand, because, you know, other mm-hmm. world probably doesn't use the same currency. And immediately looks at his stuff and goes like, trinkets is good.
What have you got?
He kind of looks through everything and just goes like, How about a tiny little carving knife?
A knife? Yeah. See her turn around and she has like a little bag on her side and she starts rummaging through it, making sure that you can't see like what she's looking in there. And then she pulls out a sky blue colored wax candle and sets it on the table. Seem fair? It's a sea breeze.
Ooh, he would put it down.
Okay.
He's just like, when I get home, there's tons of those. If I get home, there's tons of those. It's fine. Okay.
So, the game is simple. We play 3 rounds, and each round you roll a die. Uh-huh. You have 6 different dice. In each round, in secret, you choose which one you want to roll. Whoever rolls the lower number each round wins. And if you win, you get a number of points equal to how many sides that die has.
Oh.
Make sense?
So you want to roll low on a big dice.
Correct. Exactly.
Got it. And you see him, like, kind of get into it in his head and thinking this through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sound fair?
Yep.
All right. And so there is, in this set, there is a D4, a D6, a D8, a D10, a D12, and a D20.
Gotcha.
So basically a standard set minus the D100.
Yep. Okay.
All right, 3 rounds. Are you ready?
Yep.
Go ahead and pick your die, and you can roll.
Okay.
What'd you get?
8.
8? Ooh, I rolled a 10. That's lucky. See, I told you you'd be good at this.
Okay.
Which die did you use?
12.
12? All right, that's 12 points to you.
Okay.
Oh, and one last thing.
Yeah?
You can't reuse dice.
Okay. So you watch him grab the D12 and, like, plunk it back into the pile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, let's try this again.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you get?
You're not gonna believe it, but I actually got a 1.
A 1? On which die?
6.
Hmm. You're not making this easy for me. We've got one more round.
Yep. He plunks the 1 into the pile again.
Mm-hmm. Alright, one last roll?
Yep. Ready when you are.
Alright, what is it?
16.
16? Ooh, that's a shame. I rolled a 10. On a d20. So that was 18 points that you had.
And she got... Yep.
And she got 20. You see her smugly pick up the carving knife and add it to her bag. That's okay. You had some good luck to start. Surely it'll hold up for a second game. Come on, it's easy.
Be real fun, but I do... You know what? I'll come back in, like, under 10 minutes, I promise. I just have somewhere I gotta be.
How about you, mister?
I don't know, lady. I was awfully convenient there right at the end.
Oh, it was pure luck, nothing else? Come on, I'm sure I have something that'll interest you. How about... You see her rummage around in her bag again. And she pulls out, small, looks like a children's toy crossbow with a few rubber bolts. Does this suit your fancy? Perhaps?
I could turn that into a grapple and mount it on Bulldog.
So what do you say? Surely you've got something interesting.
Alright, lady.
You watch as Truff just kind of like starts to do the Pink Panther sneak away as this...
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna reach into my utility belt and start pulling out scraps of wire and metal, little stuff, and I'm gonna use my tinkering real quick and make myself can I do here? I'm just gonna make myself like a blowhorn.
Okay. It's handy there.
Just kind of press a button and it goes the burr, 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 burr.
Oh. All right, I accept that. Here's your dice.
Okay.
Pick your die and go ahead and roll. See whose luck is fancier.
Okay. I'll roll a d20 to start.
Okay.
I got a 9.
Ooh, that's too bad. I got a 4 on a d8.
All right, fine. Roll again. No, the luck's not with me tonight. That's an 8 on a 12.
Ooh, that's a 3 on a d6. That puts me up to 14 points. One last one?
Well, fine. I'm gonna pick up the d4. And I'm gonna grip it in my hand, and I'm going to turn the, because I can do this with my magical tinkering, on one of the faces of the d4, I'm gonna turn the 4 into a side that says 27.
Okay. Which side do you turn into 27?
The number 4, which what would be a 4 is now 4. A 27.
Gotcha, okay.
No, I didn't get it, I got a 2. Actually, I would have wanted to roll low, so that wouldn't work anyway. Oh well.
I thought you were going to call it like a 27-sided die and count it for 27 points. Well, it looks like we tied on that one. What do you say we break the tie with a d20? Winner takes all.
That's suspiciously generous of you, seeing as you're clearly winning. But sure! I roll it vigorously.
Okay.
And deflate as it rolls a 14.
Ooh, a 13. That's unfortunate. And then she reaches over and takes the horn. Toots it a couple times.
Well, it was that a pleasure was fun, playing kid. With Let's you. Get out of here.
Wait, one more round.
I'm gonna, as I'm walking away, I pull out some more scrap and I make another blowhorn that just goes, no, 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 no.
Okay. Wait, Jeff just kind of goes like, wait. He puts one finger up and just goes, we're on our way out, but I'm a little worried about something. Hesitant to ask, but I want to figure something out. I'll play you when I come back. But tell you what, just to prove that I'll play with you when you come when I come back. What's the best thing you think you got? I'm a big fan of the color green.
Green, huh? Ooh, I think I have just the thing. And she digs back into her bag for a few minutes. And you see her pull out what seems to be like an algae-stained conch shell. Completely pristine, not cracked or chipped. But almost like a slimy green color.
Visible relief. Because you know what he was thinking could have been in there. And he just kind of goes, oh, okay. and he would put an ounce of ink, like in a bottle of ink on the table.
Okay.
And just kind of be like, put that on hold. If I'm not back for it in the hour, it's yours.
She sort of picks it up and holds it up. Looks at it real close. Interesting. Some fine stuff. Okay, I'll take you up on that. And you see her stuff both of them into her bag?
He does the two-fingered salute and takes off.
Okay.
As he bolts with Doc, he just kind of goes, I needed to make sure that she didn't have the watch.
No, I'm pretty sure that conch shell is worth more than your silly watch. Those things don't float.
Okay. Well, he would keep moving. It's important to me.
So as you are heading across, making your way with haste, starting to get to the other side of the city, you can see at the base of where the bridge of the ship is, there is sort of like a large set of like double sliding doors that are sort of half open, and it looks like on the other end or inside is like an elevator or lift or some sort to get up into the bridge.
Okay. He would just immediately be like, I've handled these before, and would immediately just like press up to go to where he's gotta go.
As you try to walk up to the elevator, you're suddenly stopped as a length of pipe swings inches away from your head, arcing through the air, and you hear, stop! And you look down, and there is a little red kobold wielding short length of pipe, although it is short, almost as long as he is. And he is dressed entirely and exclusively in leather belts that have been sort of draped across both shoulders to sort of create like a crisscross of just belts of brown and black covering his entire body. And even in a couple that are like wrapped around his head and neck.
He puts the palms of his hands over his eyes, puts his fingers on his head, like where his scalp is, and just digs in for a second. Says, okay, what fresh hell? Hello!
You have an appointment!
With the magnet?
The mayor.
It's at this moment that Treff decides, has to make the decision, do I bullshit? And he says, like, he sits on it and just goes, it's a special case.
No appointment, no entry.
Then he thinks about what he's learned about this place so far and just goes like, what if I told you that I could give you something really neat if you let me go up to the magnet and grab something that I lost?
Tell more.
Well, he starts looking around and just realizing his inventory is shrinking by the second. He was like, well, you guys have a lot of water here. I imagine that there's not a lot of ways to make fire, right?
You see his eyes kind of light up for a second, and then he, like, blinks to sort of, like, hide his enthusiasm. Okay.
I have a box that contains some steel, some flint, and some cloth soaked in oil, and you can use that to start a fire. And I have some torches that you can use to set on fire. Put those together, and you can keep yourself warm, light up pathways, maybe even light up the way to your mayor's office.
Sort of like the kobold is starting to look a little like, sort of eyes running back and forth, and
Mayor says, fire bad. Yeah.
Well.
But you can see there's sort of like an internal conflict going on.
Could he use persuasion to kind of, like, sell this tinderbox?
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and roll a persuasion check.
Roll real quick. Plus 6. That's 15.
Mayor. No tell mayor. Okay? And then he puts his hands out.
He puts the tinderbox and the torches in his hands and then does the zip the lip lock it, throw away the key thing.
Mm-hmm.
Be fast! Mayor, busy!
Two-fingered salute, and then just kind of, like, hits the up button, and goes, like, as Doc shows up, he's like, he's with me.
Okay. Be fast.
Mm-hmm. And then he closes the thing and looks to Doc and just goes, so how am I doing?
Good enough, I guess. You've been shook down by half the residents here!
Yeah, well, when I get home, none of that stuff's going to be too hard to replace, so.
As you hit the button to go to have the elevator take you up, it begins to move up slowly, and there is sort of, like, that soft, like, generic elevator music playing as the two of you are slowly being elevated.
Tell me about yourself. So you run this scrapyard?
Yep.
It seems you're really close to your machines.
Best friends I've ever made. Get it?
Yep. So, what made you want to do that? I mean, I guess everyone's kind of making what they can, but, like, to make them into machines and friends, like, that's... It's not something I've seen a lot of the others do.
There's a few of us that are particularly good with putting pieces together and making them do things. Yeah, I suppose I'd just get metal bits a little easier than I get the fleshy bits.
Yeah, I get that.
See, I was born with these legs that... Well, they just don't do anything. Mm-hmm. It's real difficult to get around on a world built on water when you don't have any legs.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine.
So I made my own.
Good for you. That's awesome.
They work a lot better now than at the beginning. I was tripping over things, snapping, falling off.
Yeah, well, that's any new piece, right? Gotta get used to it, break it in.
I suppose.
Well, it seems like you're pretty accomplished with them now.
Now, I got the best damn legs on all these boats.
I believe it. So is everyone here, like, trying to wipe trinkets off people?
Well, yeah, I suppose. What else is there to do? I mean, you got something cool, and I want it.
You know, fair enough.
How the world works. You gotta learn that soon enough, kid, or you're gonna wind up with empty pockets. Keep giving away all your stuff.
Yeah, well, this time around, I'm willing to throw caution to the wind for the sake of getting that watch back.
You know, I could make you a new watch. They're not that difficult.
It's different. It's something from my home, and it does more than tell time, I'll tell you that. It's what lets me go from place to place. Think like the magic thing I pull to get in front of the dog, but like, a lot bigger.
I thought I just blacked out for a second.
No, I can do that. Move around, move from. I wasn't even born here. Well, I think the fashion choice kind of gives that away.
You've definitely noticed that Trevor has much less worn clothing than anyone else. Mm.
So what boat did you take? Or did you build a raft? You know, I once heard somebody flew in on a sky ship. That was exciting.
Think of course
it crashed.
Right.
But it was still exciting.
Well, the watch lets me move. It's like it can send me instantly from one spot to another. Teleportation, you know?
But no, no, I don't.
Again, like what I did to the dog, to get in front of the dog. Got from one place and instantly showed up somewhere else. That thing runs on a power source that when it gets to full charge, sends itself and whatever is wearing it somewhere else.
Hmm.
So that's how I've been going from place to place. And I have a really good friend back where I come from, and she's probably more like you, very good at metal bits. And she's trying to figure out how to get it to bring me back home. And if I don't get it in time, it'll be gone, and I will never end up home. It's my one lifeline, basically.
Sounds like a pretty risky design choice.
Wasn't intended to be this way. Call it a bit of a glitch, but it's what I gotta work with.
That's
about damn time.
Finally open. They open to reveal ahead. There is actually, between you and the main part of the bridge, a helicopter pad over which the magnet that had previously snagged your belongings is hanging directly over, and below it there is what seems to be sort of a or at least what was once a helicopter with propellers that are sort of bent in and broken windows, and the back sort of tail end of it has sort of like broken off and is laying like leaning against the base of it and sitting on the ground with like the back propeller missing. And just sort of like over it, like pushed up against the side of it, is just like a pile of random metallic garbage and like pieces of scrap metal and random little metallic objects and other just random trinkets and things like that. Yeah.
Jeff books it to the magnet.
Looking up at the magnet, it seems that it had been turned off, and there's not currently anything attached to it anymore.
Is the pile, like, directly under it?
Yes.
He immediately starts diving into the pile.
Okay, make an investigation check.
Oh, boy.
Can I assist with this at all?
Yeah, of course. All right, so you can roll with advantage.
Oh, it's a good thing that you did that. I could. The first roll was a 5 and the second one was a 12. 12, and I have plus 6 to investigation. Let's go.
Nice. So that is
17, I think.
Is it 12 and 6?
Yeah.
That's 18.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So you start immediately digging through, looking for that sort of familiar green shine from your watch that you're so desperately looking for, and sort of giving like a thorough sort of comb through the surface of this pile of garbage that has been building up for who knows how long, you don't see the watch. You also don't see Doc Riz's drone anywhere either, among the debris.
Damn scavers every time. Alright. Gotta start building a tracker on these things.
What do we do?
Well, I gotta be around here somewhere.
So we just shake down everyone in town?
I mean, I could just build myself a new rotocopter, but I don't think we got the parts to make some weird magical time shifter doohickey.
No, we most certainly do not.
Excuse me. What do you think you're doing? And you see walking around the body of that helicopter, this yellow-skinned tiefling woman wearing like a suit jacket, but one that is very, like, threadbare. And it just has, like, a bunch, like, all the way from, like, shoulder all the way down the jacket are a bunch of, like, poorly sewn extra pockets, like, down the front of the jacket.
I'm looking
Is this the mayor?
Yeah.
This is mayor.
What can I do you for, esteemed mayor lady?
And who are you exactly?
I'm taken aback, miss. I'm Doc Rizzo. You know me. I've built all kinds of stuff for you, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm honored? And who are you?
The name is Trevor. I'm looking for a watch. He describes it.
And looking, as she has sort of, like, walked around and looking at her, you begin to notice through, the pretty worn front of the jacket, in one of the many pockets, there is a familiar but faint green glow emanating from within. A watch! I'm sorry, there are many watches around here. But if you have come for something, I hope you have brought me something in return. Surely you know our way of life?
What are you in the market for?
Well, I'm into all sorts of trinkets and baubles and... Oh, I especially love shiny things. Like glowy things. Oh, I found something very nice today.
You don't say.
Ooh, yes. Was it nice haul today?
Did it also include a drone? A little roto thing?
Oh, funny. You mentioned I swung my magnet over there for some schmucks junkyard and, you know, just picked it up. Oh, well, it'll be better in my hands than anyone else's.
I think...
And you see her pull... you see her pull the drone out of one of the pockets and just sort of, like, play with it. And, like, sort of rolling it in her hand and pushing it around with her fingers.
Now, if I could just figure out how to turn it on...
Can I just command it to fly back to me? Like, it okay. is my, air quotes, familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it takes off out of her hand and floats over to you.
Oh, I don't... Wow. That is handy. Alright, now how do I get it to come back?
Return!
Just hovers there.
Hey, back up, I think you're in the way! And she sort of, like, comes up and doing, like, a shooing motion at you.
As she goes up, can Treff pickpocket the wall?
Okay, alright, roll a sleight of hand check.
I only have a +3 to this is probably gonna end poorly.
Do I notice this? I mean, probably.
What's your passive perception?
My passive perception is 13. Maybe not.
You know what? I'll say, depending, I'll have Trevor roll once, and if he rolls lower than a 13, I will let you assist.
I'm not joking, it's exactly 13.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then, you would notice it.
Yeah,
13, oh, a 13 plus?
Yep, my modifier is 3, because he has good dex.
So it's 16?
Yep.
Oh, okay, so you would not notice.
Okay.
I'm just
having Roto do the, like, it's gonna hover upwards every time she goes to swipe for it.
Okay, yeah, and she does start doing that.
I'm just gonna step backwards a few steps with my arms crossed, just watching this.
Mm-hmm. And he would take his spell focus orb, his little crystal, mm-hmm. And drop it in the pocket in return.
Okay.
Because I like to think that the watch probably also does spell stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he has his wizard one, and he has the watch, which has been doubling as his. So I think he kind of is able to do the weight swap, you know?
Yeah, got it. And she doesn't seem to notice, just sort of distracted and like, get back here! Gotta turn this darn thing off!
They're real tricky, miss.
Hold on, I've got something for this. And she turns and pulls something out of her pocket, and you see her pull out like a spearfishing gun.
Okay. And
points it up at the drone.
Well, you don't want to go and use that. You're gonna blow it to pieces. What good is it if you blow it to pieces?
Oh, it's still shiny, isn't it?
Well, there's lots of other shiny things.
Oh, but I want this one. It's mine!
Ooh, I have an idea. Treff okay. is going to use Minor Illusion with his newfound watch spell focus. He's going to, like, make, like, something appear on the magnet, like just a very shiny bobble appear where the magnet would be, almost as if like, oh, the boss of magnet, something's still up there, oops, you know?
Do you point it out to her?
Yeah, he's just like, oh, you missed something, look at that, that's really real shiny. And he purposely puts his hand with the watch in his pocket and points with his other hand.
Okay. She sort of looks over away from the drone for a moment. Looks over.
It's still up there? I swear I turned that thing off.
No, well, you know how it goes. With faulty tech and all that. And you see him immediately taking like 2 steps back towards the elevator.
Okay. You see her sort of like swinging the spear gun like toward the drone and then looking back at the magnet. And back and forth and... Put my drone back. She's gonna fire the spear gun. What's the AC of the drone?
Let's see, this is... Yeah, this is not Roto, this is Tank, yeah.
Yeah,
it has an AC of 11.
Okay. So the spear hits.
Okay.
And it does 6 points of piercing damage.
Cool. Well, it has 1 HP, so it explodes.
Oh. As the sort of pieces rain down, with, like, one of them having, like, a big barbed metal rod in it, at her feet, she's like, "There, now I can have both." And she spells the...
Why'd you have to go and do that?
Well, I wouldn't come back down. I didn't want the wind blowing it away. And she sort of starts, like, picking up the pieces of the drone and takes, like, the spear with, like, the main, like, the main body of the drone on, like, the end of the spear and, like, starts just, like, stuffing pieces into pockets all over her jacket.
Oh, man. It's too late. Oh, well. I just had a thought. Treff just kind of turns to Doc and just like, "What do we do? Are you alright?"
"It'll take some time to make another one."
"Well then, anyway, what was your business with me?"
"You know what? I think we're okay. I apologize." He puts the one hand up but keeps the other one in his pocket. "Have a great day. It's clear that tensions are high. So, another time."
Okay, I'm gonna go turn the magnet pack off. Make an appointment next time, okay?"
"Sure."
And then she turns and leaves.
"Will do." And as she leaves, he turns to Doc and just, as soon as her eyes are off, lifts his arm just a bit to show the watch is there, and then does the, like finger move, like, "We gotta move."
"Have you put it back on?"
Yes.
"Okay.
I'll meet you back down at the bottom of the elevator. You go on ahead."
"Okay."
And I lift up my big metal arm, and I press a few buttons here and turn a few dials and turn invisible.
"Okay."
I activate my invisibility shield. I'm casting spell invisibility.
Yeah.
Got it.
Treff, like, feels so much better, but immediately starts to head back to the elevator. But he doesn't press the down button. He stays, like, on the elevator shaft and waits just in case.
Okay.
So what I would like to do, I would like to go while this lady has turned around and walked back behind the broken helicopter. Mm-hmm. I'd like to take some decently sized piece of metal and some other little bits and bobs here, maybe some cabling or something, and I want to make. Maybe a buckle here and there from a seatbelt, and make some sort of just, like, metal vest thing.
Okay. Make, like, an investigation check just to find, like, all the parts you need.
Okay. That is, in fact, a natural 20 for a 26.
All right, yeah. Yeah, in just a couple of minutes you find or honestly, not even that. It takes you about 30 seconds, moving with quick hands and your one modified arm, quickly snapping pieces together right as you spot them and getting this vest put together.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be particularly well made. I'm purposely going really quick here. Because what I want to do is I want to rush over to the woman just as she gets to the magnet for when she goes to flip the switch and... Uh-huh. Strap this metal vest to her so when she accidentally turns it on, she gets flung up to the magnet.
Okay. Alright. So you see her walking over to the other end, and there is sort of like a panel right outside of the door with like a bunch of big red like levers on them. And as you're approaching to try to slap this metal vest on her, roll a stealth check with advantage.
Can I actually do this a different way? I'd like to play around with my exo legs and plug in some extra components here and supercharge them with Longstrider, and I would just like to blitz her. Still invisible, because Longstrider is not a concentration spell. Of course, you'd see this floating metal vest thing, but I would just want to blitz at her faster than she can move.
Okay. Let's just do, I'll do a general dexterity check with advantage.
Okay.
Since you have the supercharged legs.
Sure, sure, sure. That was an 11 or a 19 for a total of 21.
Okay. Yeah, you rolled higher. So, yeah, as you're coming up, she's starting to turn around, but before she can even realize what's going on, you're already behind her, and you slam the vest down, just as she was pulling the lever to activate the magnet. And the first thing that happens is a lot of the random pieces of scrap metal and other things that were directly below it, it begins to sort of like rain up and stick to the top of the magnet. You see her starting to get like pulled back, and you feel a tug on yourself as well. Although not as strong, but like on your robotic modifications on your body. But she does end up let me have her. Okay, that's not high enough. She does end up trying to grasp and like hold on to like one of the levers on the panel, but her hand slips and she ends up getting pulled up to the air, moving faster as she gets closer to the magnet, and then slamming into the back of it, sort of getting mixed in with the other pieces of random junk and stuff that got stuck up there.
Yeah, I'm just gonna long strider my way back, blowing my no horn.
Mm-hmm. Hey, come back here!
No!
Hey, what are you doing? And you're just going to the elevator?
Yep.
Alright.
Presumably it's already gone down to the bottom with Trev.
No, Trev said he was waiting.
Oh, was he? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
He opens the gate for you and then just closes it and just goes, nice.
Nobody messes with old Doc Rizzo. I'm a smart one.
He presses the down button, and as he leaves, he waves to the mayor. and he waves.
You can't do this to me!
He waves with the hand with the watch and like points to it.
Oh.
You know, this is probably going to have all kinds of blowback.
He tilts his arm at the watch and looks at its percentage and goes like, seems like it, but I won't be around for it.
Yeah, you check and the watch seems like it is just finishing getting charged up. And with the slow descent you have on the way back, or on the way down, it seems like it's going to be fully charged before you make it to the bottom of the ride.
He kind of flashes it to him and looks and goes like, we made it just in time, huh?
Well, just in time for you, anyway.
Hey, I'm sure you'll pull through. You're Doc Rizzo.
Yeah, there might be something to that skyship idea. Make a new drone. A bigger one this time.
Big enough for you to have a place outside of here.
Yeah. With a larger harpoon gun.
Do you think he has enough time to, like, copy something, like, onto a piece of paper?
Sure.
He would look and through his spell book and make it to probably... Ooh, yes. He will copy down the notes for haste. And then hand it to him on a slip of paper, and he goes... Just in case you need to supercharge those legs even further.
Well, I don't know what all these squiggles mean, but I guess I'll figure it out.
He goes like, it's a trick that I can pull off that makes things go real fast. So just in case you need your legs to move even quicker.
Well, good to know.
It also works on other objects too, so you can make your big drone move real fast if you need to.
Speedy Bulldog.
Seems like a good getaway. in case the mayor ever comes after you.
Yeah. Well, thanks, kid.
Not a problem, thank you. I wouldn't know my way around if it weren't for you. I wouldn't be able to go anywhere.
Well, it was actually, for this place, a relatively uneventful little jaunt.
You know what? I'm not even gonna ask. Oh, I just realized that lady's super gonna take my ink. You know what? Whatever. When I get home, I'll be able to hand make more. It's fine. But, hey, if I'm ever in the neighborhood again, actually show me around your scrapyard, yeah?
Sure. I'm gonna reach in into one of my tactical belt pockets and pull out a miniature rubber ducky. Mm-hmm. Here you go, kid. Do remember me by.
He squeaks in just because, like, you have no idea how much this means. Squeaks in. And then he puts it in his pocket the way he tried to pocket the first one at the start. Mm-hmm. And just kind of does the two-finger salute and just goes, like, see you around.
And as you are sort of finishing the salute, you both see as the watch begins to grow with a high-intensity bright light that fills up the entire elevator, almost to a blinding extent. And when it subsides, Trevor has once again jumped to another universe.
Pull out a cigar and lay it stick in my mouth, take a big long drag, and exhale. Man, I really need to lay off these things.
And that concludes our show for this evening. We hope you enjoyed Episode 7, City Electric. Tonight's story was told by the following incredibly talented people. Our game was run by Bravin at DM Chronicles. Doc Rizzo was played by Jack at People's Ascension. Rizzara, voiced by Midnight Blue. And Trevor Vantross, voiced by Biba17. Our lead writer is Biba17, and editing for this episode was done by Radio at DoDoDo90. Our theme song was composed by Zach at Schedule for Launch. You can learn more about the world of DM Chronicles on Twitter, at DM Chronicles, and catch them live on Twitch at twitch.tv/DM Chronicles. And if you would like to stay up to date on all things Parallel to Anywhere, you can follow us on Twitter at P2Anywhere and join our Discord to be a part of our community. Please make sure to like, share, and subscribe on YouTube or rate us 5 stars on Spotify. Thank you so much for listening. We hope to see you again soon, whenever that may be.